Today's episode of Keeping It Real Podcast is brought to you by Nest Egg. Looking to add value to your investor clients? Recommend Nest Egg, a Chicago-based app that has everything your clients need to manage their rentals in only minutes a month. Nest Egg is the only app that gets things done at the rental, including on-demand maintenance and services like tenant placement and snow removal. Also, Nest Egg is free to use, which makes your clients' investments 20 to 30% more profitable. Join Nest Egg today by downloading the app or by visiting nestegg.rent. That's nestegg.rent. Use promo code Keeping It Real to get your first hour of maintenance for free. And now on to the show. Hello and welcome to another episode of Keeping It Real, the largest podcast, most listened to podcast made by real estate agents and for real estate agents. My name is DJ Paris. Welcome to the show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming back. And as always, thank you for telling a friend. Think of one other real estate professional that could benefit from hearing from top producers and send them a link to our show. We do 2 to 3 episodes a week just for you guys so you can learn from top producers. And today is no exception. We have Chihao Yang from Prospect Equities coming up in just a moment. And this particular episode should be a little different because Chihao Yang does over 80 rentals a year, which is a huge number. And I was just moderating a panel of top producers for the Chicago Association of Realtors last week. Two of the three panelists who are top 1% producers mentioned doing rentals. And so a lot of brokers don't do them and they're kind of curious on how it works. And our interview here is going to talk a lot about that. So I think you'll get a ton of value there. As always, please follow us on Facebook. You can find us at facebook.com/keepingitrealpod. Now, the reason to follow us is we post an article every single day that we find online dedicated to helping you grow your business. And of course, we post links to all of the episodes we do, like this one, but also we record our interviews live on Facebook. So if you can't wait the couple of weeks it takes us to produce an episode, you can watch it kind of almost like a behind the scenes, and you can watch us live. And if you follow us on Facebook, Facebook will notify you in real time as we're doing one of our live interviews. And you can also chime in with questions along the way too. So again, follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/keepingitrealpod. And now onto our interview with top 1% producer, Chihao Yang. Okay, today on the show, we have Chihao Yang from Prospect Equities. Chihao Yang is bilingual, speaking both Mandarin and English. He is a broker who specializes in Illinois real estate rentals and sales. He's been living in Illinois since 2003 and to see the continuous growth of the city and knows every insight a renter or buyer needs to know. He has worked with investors and buyers from here locally as well as overseas. Chihao has closed hundreds of deals and receives 5-star reviews from his clients. He helps clients purchase their dream home and also sell their investments. Besides sales, Chihao also helps international students look for rental apartments throughout the city of Chicago. He's received tremendous amount of positive feedback from his clients in the rental and sales services. Chihao is part of our future top producers a series that we're doing on the show. And what caught our eye about him is that every year, in addition to all the sales he does, he closes over 80 rentals, which is an insanely high number and super amazing. We're so honored to have him on the show. It's an incredible amount of production. As we enter the rental season, a great reminder that rentals are how a lot of realtors leave them on the table. So we're going to talk about that today. By the way, please visit Chihao at realtorchy.com. That's realtorchy.com. Welcome to the show, Chihao.
Thank you so much for this wonderful introduction.
Well, we're super honored to have you. And I know you and I had met previously, and I was so impressed by, you know, your business plan and what you're doing with your own practice over at Prospect Equities with respect to how you're building your business and the niche you found. I immediately contacted our casting director. I said, we need to book him on the show. So thank you for being available so quickly. And we're honored to have you. So I would like to jump right in. I know you're not necessarily brand new to the industry, but mm-hmm. but you're still kind of a newcomer, and you're yes. having all this great success. Can you tell us about how you got into real estate?
Yeah. So then I actually got a major in advertising and minors in business and chemistry in college. So when I finished school in 2010, I began working for a commercial real estate developer doing marketing for them. That's my initial contact in real estate. So I worked for them for about 6 or 7 years. And then a lot of our clients then were overseas investors. They were coming to America doing investment, you know, commercial deals. And that's when I realized, wow, I am in love with real estate. So then 2 years ago, May 2018, that's when I went back to, went to get my broker license. And then since then, I realized that was the right decision because I love what I do and I'm doing what I love. And I think that's important. Like, people need to do what they're into. If they're doing something they, you know, they're just getting through the day. No, that's not, that's not what I want to do.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, well, tell us a little bit about, you know, you started, you had no clients, like a lot of realtors when they get started. Tell yeah. us, how did you develop your clientele? How did you, you know, how did you start prospecting and finding people to work with?
Yeah, just like everyone else, when I started, I have no clients. So I started with my background in advertising marketing. I started building my own website, and I have my, you know, Facebook account, Instagram, just like everyone else. Everyone has the same thing. But then to make it different, I started to produce videos. I do videos to teach people how to buy a condo, A to Z. Like, if you want to buy a condo, watch my videos. In 5 minutes, I will tell you everything that you need to know. I make videos to teach people how to rent an apartment. If you're moving to Chicago, you know, people think that they have to pay a broker fee to rent an apartment. I say, no, watch my video. I'm going to teach you how to rent an apartment, A to Z. Yeah. So then I start doing that. And then I, every chance that I, you know, every time I meet somebody, I tell them what I do. Like, in an Uber share ride, you know, there's one time I remember there's a lady that was going to her listing appointment. And then I said, hey, oh, here's my business card. Contact me if you don't like the broker that you're meeting. Or, you know, when I go out to the bar, you know, people go out and drinks. And then I always make sure, hey, how are you? My name's Chihao. What do you do? And they would tell me what to do. I said, hey, I'm a broker. So then I always make sure I ask for their Instagram. Because they add me, I add them. So they know what I'm doing. They might not need me now, but they are going to need me in 6 months, in 8 months, in 12 months. And then with my company, Prospect Equities, we sponsor some colleges in Chicago. So we go to their events. And then, you know, I go there and meet the students or meet the clients that might need a housing in 6 months or 12 months. So I'm just planting the seeds and then, you know, hoping, you know, they will come to me later out, and it works.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like your background in marketing has really helped you to realize that's, and for, I think for most realtors, that's the hardest part of the job, right? Is sourcing clients. Yeah. And even as it's, you talked about, you know, in a share ride on an Uber, passing your card out, it's like, you know, I took an Uber twice yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't practice real estate, but if I did, it probably wouldn't have occurred to me to hand my card even to the driver and say, hey, by the way, I don't know, you know, what your living situation is, but whenever you need to move or you're ever thinking about buying or renting or selling, I would love to work with you.
I did it at one time. The guy told me that he was looking for an apartment. I always ask them, oh, where in the city do you live? And they would tell me here or there if they live in a city near me. I was like, oh. And then, you know, they would ask them, what do you do? And I would tell them what I do. And then that's where, you know, hey, here's my car. If you need it in the future, call me or email me. And that works out pretty well. Just everywhere. It's not just Uber, right? Just everywhere I go. If there's a chance, I don't want to bother them though. I don't want to go into a deep conversation. That's when people are turned off about this whole thing. But you have to let them know you're there for them whenever they need it.
You also talked about making instructional videos on YouTube, and I think that's one part of marketing that realtors often don't realize how powerful it is. You know, somebody, for example, moving to Chicago, or especially if from overseas, but even just from another state, they're not going to know the neighborhoods unless they just, you know, happen to have experience in Chicago. They likely aren't going to know where to move, what the best buildings are, where to move to match their lifestyle. And having videos, obviously from an SEO perspective, might have people find your videos on their own via YouTube and then might reach out to you. But how successful have those videos been? Not as far as number of views, because that's not relevant to me. But like, I imagine they're incredibly helpful to your clients.
I think so, because a lot of the times I ask people, well, why did you, you know, after I close the sales or after they rented an apartment, I always ask, why do you choose me? Where did you find me? So they would tell me, oh, I found you from Instagram, I found you from referral, and I saw you your video talking about home inspection. Because I even interview like attorney, I interview home inspector, I interview lenders. So the videos are out there for my clients to watch. So they say, oh, I saw this video, then I thought you were great, that's why I chose you. So I think they're pretty useful. And then you actually touched a topic about, you know, me moving here from, I actually moved from Taipei to Chicago in 2003. So I've been living here for 17 years. A lot of my clients are first-time home buyers or first-time renting an apartment here. So I know how difficult it is for them, because I went through all this. I came here as a student, and I have this document called I-20, and I was trying to rent an apartment. Nobody knows what I-20 is. I-20 is actually a document that's approved by the USCIS, Department of Homeland Security. So there's a section where it says how much money is being sponsored by the family per year. So on I-20, it will show it's $80,000 or $100,000. So that's more than enough to rent apartment. But a lot of the landlords don't understand how to read this document. And I experienced that firsthand because I was a student. So now I'm helping all those students, you know, renting an apartment in the city and bringing them to different high-rises, you know, management. And then I educate those buildings. Hey, this is I-20. This is their proof of income. You know, they're being paid, like the parents are supporting the, you know, the school, they're giving them money. So don't worry, this is even approved by the USCIS. So you guys shouldn't be worried about those students not paying rent. So yeah, and I make sure my clients know I'm on their side because I went through this. So I think my clients find comfort knowing that I did it and I'm helping them. So they trust me to help them.
Yeah, I want to circle back to the I-20 because for a lot of our listeners, probably most of our listeners are going, I don't know what that is. So Chihao just explained it, but just to make sure it's really clear, this is a document that is endorsed by the Department of Homeland Security. Basically, they have vetted this particular individual, and they're able to have a document that says, here is the amount of money that is going to be spent by the family of this individual who is maybe a student, you know, going to school here. And then you then present that document in lieu of a social security number. Gotcha. And to a prospective landlord or, you know, maybe even if they're purchasing a property, how much of the time do you have to educate the landlords on what this document is, how it works, how to interpret it?
So like, you know, we know for renting, there are two sides of renting. You can go on MLS and then
individual owners.
And those are usually the ones, you know, they don't know what I-20 is.
Right.
And then even if you tell them what I-20 is, they might not accept it because there's just this fear, you know, the tenants might not pay rent.
Sure.
So that instead of bringing those clients to the MLS listings, I bring them to the high rises in the Loop, Streeterville, River North, South Loop, where, you know, the schools are. So then those high, I bring my clients to those buildings, you know, 4, 5, 6, and they pick one. And usually those buildings, they know what's going on. They actually have a lot of those students already. So I want to remind, you know, other brokers, when you get a client that's international students with I-20, you have choices. You don't have to just bring them to the MLS listing, bring them to high-rises. And then another thing is the high-rises pay more.
That's true.
They pay 100% of 1 month's rent, or 125, sometimes 150. If right. you bring them to an MLS, you get 50%.
Right.
So then why not? If you really think about it, if you, you know, it really depends. But then I will always, it's good for us, but it's also good for the clients. I always, you know, I want my clients to have an easy process when they're applying for a, you know, apartment. I don't want them to apply for this one and got rejected, got applied to that one and get rejected. They should have a fair, sure. you know, chances, you know, getting an apartment.
Yeah. And you just said a lot. I want to unpack that a little bit because there's a lot of our listeners who are like, what do you mean there are rentals off the MLS? So in Chicago and in many other markets as well, obviously individual owners or sometimes management companies will list their properties on the MLS. There's also what we would call third-party management firms that don't list their properties on the MLS, but still work with brokers like Chihao to get their properties rented. And because those properties aren't, or those units aren't on the MLS, there's no listing agent, which means, as Chihao said, there's no one to split the commission with. And in Chicago, including the suburbs, most of these management companies pay 1 month's rent. So all of a sudden, you know, depending on whatever your split is with your current firm, you might be getting, you will be getting much more money because obviously there's no one to split it with. And you typically get 1 month's rent. As Chihao said, sometimes there's specials where it's 150% of 1 month's rent. So if you're saying, well, how do I get access to these buildings? What I would do for our listeners is talk to your managing broker and say, hey, I understand there's all these management companies that will work with brokers. How do we get in contact? Can you help me get their inventory? Because the challenge, of course, with these management companies is because they're not on the MLS, you have to keep up to date with their inventory. And so a lot of times those are typically called hot sheets. Yes. So you ask those management companies either directly or maybe your managing broker can make the introduction and say, hey, can we get on your distribution list? So every time you send out updates about what's available, can you email us? And then there's all sorts of software solutions where you can put that information into, but even if you're just getting the emails, that'll help you know what's available. And I imagine you get a lot of those emails.
I get 30, 40 emails every day for hot sheets. And I actually go through one by one because I look at it and I memorize. I remember because in case somebody 2 days later asked me, hey, I want to get a 2-bedroom, 2-bath, my budget $3,000, and I know where to bring them. Because the hash is in my head and I know what to bring in.
What percentage of brokers do you think have that level of knowledge? Obviously, you know, you're focused on your business, but it has to be a small percentage of brokers who even really, really try to, you know, explore that market.
Yeah, I have a couple brokers friends. They only do MLS, you know, showings. And I say, hey, like, think about, you know, the other way. Why are you, you know, when you get a $3,000 client, if you bring them to a $3,000 from MLS, you get 1,500 or lower. But if you bring them to that one, it's $3,000 or more. That's it's a big difference. And we are putting the same amount of work into you know, our job. Why not get more? And it's also for the client's benefit too. We are not, you know, we want to make sure the client likes the place, of course. So then, yeah, I think a lot of people don't even think about the third-party management as an option. Yeah. And I always tell people, I love to tell people, hey, that's option two. Don't forget. It's not just MLS.
Yeah, it's nice to know that. And I, you know, I know, like, at the firm I work at, we have a similar database of third-party management. And sometimes there's 5,000 listings in there. And I think, boy, if I was a practicing broker and I only use the MLS, which might only have 5,000 rentals in it anyway, now I've effectively just doubled the amount of not only the amount of money I might get on the transaction, but double the number of possibilities for my client, which ultimately is the best part, is you get to show your client more stuff and something that might meet their needs. Oh, and by the way, you're going to get paid better on it if they decide to choose that property.
Yeah. I actually always, there are actually like 4 or 5 big third-party management in Chicago. And I email them directly. I say, hey, please send me, you know, the hot sheet every day, which they do. So then that's how I get, you know, updated all the time and know what's going on, who's doing promotion here. You know, sometimes they give promotion to clients that we bring in. They would say, hey, if you bring your clients to our building, they get 1 month off. And I tell my clients, hey, let's go to this building. You get 1 month off, 2 months off. You get the application fee waived, admin fee waived. Why not? It's good. MLS would never waive your rent.
No.
It would never waive your application admin fee. So when I get this benefit, I tell my clients, hey, let's go see this building. They're giving 2 months off for you when you sign a 12-month lease. Why not? 2 months off. So yeah.
So my girlfriend, I think I might have shared this with you offline, but my girlfriend is in the leasing office over at Catalyst, which is down on Des Plaines. Yeah. And I asked her when I first started dating her, I said, be honest with me. I said, do you like working with brokers who bring in their clients? Because she's trying to rent properties as well. And I said, or would you rather not work with brokers? Like between you and me, what do you think? And she goes, I love working with brokers. And she says, let me adjust that statement. She goes, I like working with really good brokers because she goes, they make my job easier and they bring in qualified candidates.
Yeah.
And we're both working together to close this transaction. So even though a lot of these buildings that you work with and represent have their own internal staff trying to rent, most of them are very broker friendly, and some of them aren't, and some of them won't work with brokers, but the majority of them will. And they're thrilled to have you come in and learn the property and be able to bring them qualified candidates.
Very true. I actually build, you know, personal relationship with a few brokers on site for the buildings. You know, I just need to send them a text. I say, hey, are you free tomorrow? Can I bring my clients in? And they would say yes. Even on an off day, there's a broker, there's an on-site leasing agent that would show me on her days off, because she knows when I bring my clients in, they're going to sign it, or they're going to consider it, because I already pre-approved my clients. I asked them, hey, can you show me your I-20? I want to make sure, you know, their approval income, if they're working. I say, hey, how much is your salary per month? And I do the math divided by three, you know, the three times rent qualification. I already talked to my clients about those requirements, so I know where to bring them.
Yeah, it's such a smart idea. I was moderating, I was telling you this offline, but I'll mention it to our listeners. I was moderating a panel of top producers for the YPN in Chicago, for the Chicago Association of Realtors yesterday. There were three top producers, and they asked them, one of the questions from the audience was, how are you adjusting to the changes in the real estate market? You know, basically, what are you seeing as trends? And two of the three, one person only does sales and that's all she does. Mm-hmm. And the other two people said, oh my gosh, rentals are where it's at. And they said, it's great because most brokers really don't like doing rentals, or they have it in their mind that they don't think they should be doing rentals. And both of them said it's really not a smart plan, because one of the gentlemen does 100 rentals a year, and really a great guy named Will from Fulton Grace. And he goes, I love it because most brokers won't touch rentals. Yeah. He says, I love it because not only am I helping that person, obviously, and he loves helping people, but he said, I'm starting the relationship. And those people at some point down the road, if they stay in Chicago, will probably become a buyer at some point. And he goes, my job is to take such good care of them today that maybe in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, when they decide to purchase, they say, hey, Will, I'm finally ready to buy. And or even along the way, maybe they want to move to another apartment, right? And now all of a sudden he can help them again. And also, you know, they'll refer possibly their friends as well. So I really admire your tenacity. And you have a team now. And I want to talk about how impressive this is, because you have built up a team very quickly in this business. That is particularly unusual. Usually brokers don't build teams until they're many, many, many years into the business. But you saw the opportunity and started doing that now. Can you talk a little bit about your team and what you guys are doing?
Yeah, so my managing broker actually talked to me and said, hey, Chihao, you have so many clients, and why don't you? And there's people that are coming into our brokerage. And then I actually have three now that are under my teams. And then, you know, when I'm busy, I cannot do the showings. You know, I give it to my team members. They would go do the showings. And then when they're busy, I would take on, you know, their clients to the showing. I think it works great. And then I want to make sure that my clients are, because a lot of times I'm just one person. I cannot be at three places, you know, at a given time. So it's always good to have a team member that shares my goal. I want people to, I don't want to just take everyone. I want my team members to have the same goal and same desire to be successful.
Yeah. And I have a question. So what is the typical lead time from the moment you start working with a renter to the time when they typically make a decision? Is it several weeks? Is it a few days? Is it a month? What is typically the time?
Well, I get a lot of people, they're looking, like, the right time to talk to me would be 45 days, 60 days before their lease is up, because that's when availability is there for everyone to see. So that if they talk to me 6 months early, I would say, talk to me later. Like, you know, I would talk to them and say, hey, what's your budget? What's your location? Like, where's your location that you want to live in? I would ask all the questions and I said, but there's nothing for us to see yet. I would put it on my calendar to make sure I go back to the person in 4 months and then we'll revisit and then I will book the showings. But, you know, if they talk to me 45 days before their lease is up, I can quickly, I talk to them. I send, you know, all the questions, location, name, budget, and your phone number, email. Like, I say, hey, you know, let me schedule you a showing this weekend. And then, you know, on weekends, I will schedule 5 or 6 places, and then we go see it. Usually, they make a decision right away. I have clients that would, you know, they see 1, 2, 3 at the fourth showing. They say, oh, I don't need to see the other two. I want this one. And they would just apply and do it right away. And that happens all the time. So then, you know, with a tenant or renter, they it's not buying a house. So they can make their decision pretty quickly. If everything that they tell me fits, you know, the apartment fits their requirement. So it's very important to listen to what the tenants want. They say, we want in-unit laundry. So don't be bringing them to places that have no in-unit laundry. It would be wasting my time and their time. But then, you know, some people would say, hey, I want in-unit laundry, but my budget is $1,500. But I would tell them, hey, if you want in-unit laundry, $1,500, you cannot find a studio. If you want in-unit, it has to be maybe 17 or 18 in the area that you mentioned. So that I would tell them right away, and then so they know. I don't want to be, you know, taking them to places without laundry, and then they say, oh, is it because of my budget? So I tell them upfront, I say, hey, if you want dishwasher, you want this, you want hardwood floor, maybe you have to up your budget. Otherwise, we don't have anything to see.
I think it's also so important, and you obviously have done this, which is, you know, your inventory, you know, these buildings inside and out. How did you first get acclimated to these buildings? Did you go visit them on your own and say, yes, I want to learn what you guys offer? And tell us about how you did that.
Good question. So my managing broker, when we started, he was coaching us. Our assignment for the first 12 days was to visit 10 properties in an area. So I pick Streeterville. So I picked 10 high rises at Streeterville. I called them. I say, hey, can I do a broker tour? Just me. So I went on site, take photos and take videos. I talked to the leasing agent or the property manager, and I take notes. How much is your application fee whatsoever? So I actually put in an Excel sheet. So I learned, I first learned about the area, and then, you know, as time goes by, I would get a second client that wants to live in South Loop or River North. So I just go on site, and then that's how I got started. For the first 12 days, each day I went to one property and learned about that building. So I know what floor is the pool, what floor is the gym. And then I think we need to be familiar with the product so then we can sell it to our clients. If we don't know anything about the products, how do we sell it to the clients?
It's so funny you mentioned that, because it's such great advice. Just today, we published an episode with Matt Laracy, who's the number two highest producing broker in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And he tells us in our episode, when he first started, he grew up in Cicero, didn't even know any of the neighborhoods inside of the city. And even though he was only a few miles away, and he would get up every day, and he said he wanted to know River North. So he said he would get up every day, and this is many years ago, but he would just walk from building to building and go, hey, are you a condo building or an apartment building? He said he had no idea. He had a notebook. He did exactly what you did, where he wrote everything down. He became an expert. He did that for a few years. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, he just knew more than everybody. And I suspect you have a similar thing. You know more about apartments. And I know that's not all of what you do, of course. Mm-hmm. You all do a ton of sales as well. But you just know, you know these buildings where you don't even have to think about, when you just have to talk to the client and say, what are you looking for? And you probably know within a few minutes, I imagine.
So like there's a client, they're looking for an apartment near a Gold Coast, Chicago. He told me Chicago Red Line stop. So in my head, I already, this, here. Like in my head, I already have like list. So I just need to type it out and send it to him and say, hey, let's go see those places. So it just, the more you do, the more familiar you get to learn. And then you just memorize. I didn't mean to memorize those buildings, but just, I do this every day. So it becomes part of my life. And then I actually love doing this. So that it's not like a pressure for me to memorize buildings or stuff.
Yeah, and I have a question and I know you work with a lot of international students who might be returning back home or maybe staying after the duration of their lease or school year is up. How do you stay in touch with them after they move in? So you've helped them find an apartment, and obviously you'd be honored to have referrals from them. And then again, maybe down the road, they want to move to another apartment or possibly buy a home. Do you do anything to stay in touch? Do you have any advice for our listeners on how to, because a lot of times what I find, even with the brokers at our own firm, although I don't know for sure, but I suspect a lot of them like sell somebody a home or rent somebody an apartment and then just, well, hopefully they'll think about me in the future. Do you have any processes to stay in touch?
Yeah. So as soon as a lot of people stop talking to their clients after they sign a lease, but I don't stop there. I ask them, hey, do you know how to set up, your Comet account? Because a lot of people don't know how to set it up.
Right.
If you're the first time in America, how would they know how to set up Comet account? So I write blogs and teach them, hey, you might have to call if they don't accept your, because they don't have social security. So you might have to go to their office to set up your account. And I teach them that. And then some buildings require renter insurance. I don't know where to get a renter insurance. So that I have a website list that say, hey, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this. And on their moving date, I text them and say, hey, good luck moving in today. And let me know if you need help with, the moving company. And I give them, contacts. And after they move in, I might send them a welcome, like a housewarming gift. So they know me. And then I actually have this newsletter that I send out monthly, and I just write a little thing, just really personal. It's about me, where I see, where the new buildings are coming up, where my clients are being, renting their apartment or where they're buying their homes. So they get email from me once a month. So they know me, and I say, hey, if you have any other clients, they're looking for renting or buying, you have had my service before. If you're satisfied, refer me to them. I'm happy to help them. I'm happy to find their next home. So then I, Christmas, I send them chocolate cards, stuff. So then they know it's not just a one-time thing. I get a lot of repeated, this is my third year and, as a broker, and I get, my second year and third year, I keep getting the same client who rent it, and then they want to move apartment, and I go back and tell them, move them, help them to move apartment. Or people who rent it the first year, and then now they want to buy, and I'm helping them to buy. And then I actually have people who want to sell their condo from the first year. So it works out. It's not just a one-time thing with clients, I think.
It's probably the biggest mistake that brokers make when they work with a client, whether it's a buyer, a seller, or a renter, is the transaction closes and then they go, okay, well, if it's a buyer, he's probably not going to buy another home for 7 or 10 years. Seller, who knows? Renter, they're going to be there for the next 12 months. Well, I'll try to remember to check in month 10 or month 11. But you need to really have a process, obviously, like you do, because I'm always amazed, and I don't know if you can relate to this, but it's not just in the real estate world. I find that most of the service providers who I pay fees to on an annual basis or even monthly basis, very rarely do I get a lot of communication from them over the years. I think about different professionals that I've probably given a substantial amount of money to over the years. And I think, well, sometimes I get a card during the holidays, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, boy, they're really missing out on opportunities because I like them. I'd be happy to share their information with my friends, but I just don't think about it because I'm not hearing from them. Yeah. So this is a great strategy for our listeners to stay in touch.
I'll give you a great example. Like even buyers, I close a condo at Old Town in January this year, so last month. And then I'm already helping them. First, their second property they're buying. It's an investment because they were asking me, hey, they have, you know, little extra money. They want to, you know, do some investments. And then I actually personally bought, you know, investment properties. So I was telling them, hey, you can go which area they were, you know, they were consulting me. I was like talking to them. So yeah, it's the buyer's not necessarily going to wait 5-6 years. My buyers, they bought a house in January. They're already working on their second condo they're buying for investment.
Yeah, that's just the perfect point is, and that's the other thing too, is as a broker, if you're listening and you're going, oh gosh, I don't really know much about investments, then make it a mission over the next year or 2 years to start studying and understanding what house hacking is, you know, buying a multi-unit properties and why people do that, you know, how it works, and educate yourself so that, because you might always be thinking about primary residence. Okay, where are they going to live? And they might be thinking, gosh, I have some extra cash maybe I'd like to invest in. And if you can't really help them, then you've just missed another opportunity and they're going to use somebody else, right?
Yeah.
I'd like to hear this particular story that you shared here when we were talking, we were asking you about what you wanted to talk about, and safety is such an important thing. Yeah. And oftentimes as men, we might not think as much about safety as maybe women would, but you shared a really interesting safety story. If you don't mind sharing that with our audience, I think it's important to hear it.
Yeah. I want to share about this story because as a broker, now we have to take this sexual harassment prevention class. So we know how important this is. And so this happened to me last January, 2019, when it was during the polar vortex. It was so cold out. So I was doing a showing. So a girl contacted me and she wanted to rent an apartment, and this was an MLS deal. So I went to the building, and there was a guy already, there's a doorman, and there was a guy at the lobby, and I didn't think he was my client because it was a girl. So I was waiting there, and then the girl show up, and I got the keys. We all went up to the building. It's a one bedroom. It's a small one, so it was a quick showing. So we went inside, and it was after 5 minutes or so, we were leaving, and then the girl was standing at the door, blocking the entrance. Wow. The guy approached me, and he said, hey, nice jacket. I was wearing my Canada Goose. You know how last year there was all this crazy stuff going on?
That's the biggest jacket. It's a very, it's a nice jacket. Yeah.
And then the guy say, but it was so cold. I had to wear it
because
I
was talking
about. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the guy say, hey, nice jacket. And I just look at him and I say, oh yeah. And you know, I just smile, you know, it keeps me warm. And then he say, hey, let's swap our jacket. And that's right away I realized, because she was blocking the door, he was saying that, I right away knew something was wrong.
Wow, so this is your client.
Yeah, but I never met them before.
Right.
That was the first time, you know, meeting them. And right away I knew, I'm one person, they have two people, and the girl's blocking the door, and the guy said, well, give me your jacket. Basically, that's what he's saying. But I always have my phone with me. So right away, as he said that, I just, oh, sorry, like I have a phone coming in. So I could just call and say, hey, so I pretend I was talking to somebody else. And I say, hey, so-and-so, I pretend it was another client that called me. I said, oh, sure. I'm doing a showing at 123 Main Street. I'm only 2-3 minutes away. I'll be there in 5 minutes. As soon as I say that, they stop. They changed their tone of voice. So then we left. So it gives them a signal where, hey, I'm telling somebody that I'm here
at this
building, so then, you know, don't do anything to me. And it works. And then here's the thing. I went down to the lobby and then they left. I talked to the doorman. I say, hey, do you know the guy and the girl? And then doorman say, yes, he knows the guy.
Oh.
So long story short, the guy used to live in the building. He got evicted. And then now she's using me to see the unit and want to apply. So I just know it's a big no-no. Like, I don't know. And I asked the guy, why he was evicted. I don't want to share the information live, but then he got evicted. So, it was just.
That's a remarkable story.
Yeah, we have to be. And then I asked, when I do showings now, I would go even earlier and go talk to the doorman. I say, hey, I'm going to do showings at this unit. I just wish that the doorman could have given me a hint too, because he saw the guy going up with me.
Right.
And I don't know what's going to happen if somebody didn't, say, hey, do the phone call thing or whatever. I don't know what was going to happen, but.
It's amazing because I'm guessing he must have just seen your nice jacket and gone, oh, well, I'm up there. Let me see if I can get him to give me the jacket. But that wasn't his primary reason for being there. I guess he wanted to move back into the
building.
Fascinating.
But I could tell that afterwards, I could tell he was also under influence too. Like he was.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So they just be careful. Like, we're telling, the female brokers to be careful. But I think this can happen to anyone, everyone.
Yeah, my girlfriend who's at Catalyst, they have, and I imagine most of these big buildings have these safety features, but she has a little device that she wears on her and it tracks everywhere she goes. And if she isn't back from a showing in a certain amount of time, it immediately calls the police. Yeah. And so, for realtors, if you're working with clients that you haven't yet met and you want to be safe, I know that you can buy these devices. They're not expensive, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And it might just even be a good idea to have one of these. And there's also apps you can put on your phone where you push a button.
Yeah. Yeah. Like on the iPhone, if you push your button 5 times, it calls the police right away.
Right.
Yeah. And then like I turn on Find My Friends so that my family or my friends know where I am. But if I'm doing a showing at 8 p.m. or like night, like sometimes people want to go see you at nighttime to see the view. And then I would make sure one person knows where I'm going, because usually just me going to, a condo and if I don't tell anyone, nobody knows where I'm going.
Yeah, safety, it's so important. And we don't talk about it enough on the show. So I'm so glad you shared that because it's especially with rentals, it's a lot of times there might be people you've never met before. Mm-hmm. So this is a great smart strategy to stay mm-hmm. safe. I have a few questions from our listeners. Yeah. So we have Randall from Chicago says, since you do a lot of rentals, how many apartments on average do you show your renters before they end up choosing? And you've sort of touched on this.
Yeah. So it's a tough question. Some people want to, some people say they want to see 8 or 9. It's just crazy because if you go into those high rises, it takes an hour, 45 minutes for them to do a building tour. You see one unit, maybe 2-3 units. They show you the gym, they show you the pool, they show you their amenities, you sit down and go over pricing. So for each tour, it's 45 minutes. And when you travel from one place to the other, that's an hour. So then when somebody wanna see 8 or 9, I said, there's no way we can see 8 places in 8-9 hours. Like you're gonna be tired. I tell them 6 would be the maximum for a day, because that would require 6 hours of showing. And I usually tell them, hey, why don't you just pick top 4? Right. If you don't like any of the 4, I would schedule the other 3 on the next day. And I would say 90% of the time, they will be able to pick the top, pick one out of the 4. Because this is just for me, like I find myself forgetting about the first property or first building.
Sure.
When I can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, on like the 6th one, I'm forgetting the first one. I'm getting confused. Right. Even I do this every day. Sure. I'm getting all confused. Like if I don't even remember, how will my clients remember anything? So one of the things, I take photos for my clients. Every building.
Oh, that's so smart.
Oh yeah. If I go into this building, we see 3 units. I take a video of this unit, this unit, this unit.
Oh,
after this,
Sorry, I'm pausing you for a second. That is a brilliant, brilliant tip. So, and you can do this, by the way, with buyers as well, of course. Yes. So, I mean, I don't know that anyone has shared that on our show. So I want to just pause for a second and say, if you're showing your clients, whether it's homes, apartments, take videos and then get them to your clients after after the day or that day. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Check with the building first. Some buildings might not allow videos or photos, but then when you ask nicely, they say, yes, I'm telling them I only use it for my personal, like I'm going to send it to my clients. So that, like, let's say we finish one building and then at, when we are going to the second, like traveling to the second buildings, I would ask them, hey, we see three units here. Which one do you like the most? And they would say, oh, I like the second unit. So I would make a note. They like this one. After we see the second building, I say, hey, which unit do you like the most? And they would say that one. I said, how about this one? I will compare. I keep comparing. So I make mental notes. So on the fifth one, I said, hey, do you like this one? Like they would tell. So at the fifth one, when we finish, I know which one's their favorite. And then I would send in the videos and photos to them so they have it. So they can go home and apply. Or they would go back to the building and apply too. That would work.
Great suggestion. Okay. So Susan, don't know where Susan's from, but Susan asks, I do a few rentals each month, which is great income, but I'm having a hard time converting renters into buyers when their lease is up. Any suggestions about how to convert renters to buyers over time?
Well, first of all, you have to make sure they like your service. Like they're satisfied with your rental.
That might be the problem. Sure.
Yeah, like if they, you know, not every renters I have turn to buyers, but a lot of them turn to buyers. So you need to make sure they, like I would say that, you know, I make sure that I do everything I can to make sure they're happy and satisfied with the building. You know, sometimes my client, tenant's client would text me and say, hey, my management is doing this, doing that. They're not fixing my faucet, I'm fixing my lights, but then that's not really my job anymore. But I would go out of my way, send management an email, copy my client, say, hey, my client so-and-so is having problem with, you know, having issue with this. Can you help them fix it? And now my client's like, oh, you know, Chihao is taking initiative to do this for me. And then, you know, once they're ready to buy, they might come to me. But I'm not out there purposely trying to confirm my tenant to buyer. I'm not doing that. I'm not, you know, making note, you know, planning to do it. It just happens.
You're trying to be of service, no matter whether they rent or purchase. You just want to be the one who helps them and hope that whenever they need any assistance with real estate, they're reaching out to you. And I think that's a really good answer.
One of my clients wrote on Zillow as a review saying that I'm a one-stop guy, like one-stop shop or something. I can rent and I can help him to find renter insurance, come back, and then I can do the moving company. So I thought it was funny. He called me the one-stop guy to go to.
Yeah. But that's what you want to be. And it makes you so valuable to people. And also for our listeners, if you're thinking, oh gosh, you're right, renter's insurance, that's a good idea. I should tell all my renters as they're moving in, you know, here's a couple of insurance agents. And so this is an opportunity also to make relationships with insurance agents and say, hey, Mr. or Mrs. Insurance Agent, I work with renters or buyers, of course, and they need renter's insurance or homeowner's insurance. Can I pass them over to you? And of course, every single insurance agent is going to say, yes. And then you can say, oh, by the way, if you ever know of any, if your clients are ever moving, I would love that if you, you know, would pass in those people over to me as well. And you can develop really good relationships that way.
Yeah, you're correct. I actually have a couple guys that I can just, I feel comfortable. I know their goal is like mine. So when they would take care of my clients. So then I just say, hey, this is my client. They need renter insurance. They need homeowner insurance. So I know they're good.
Well, for all of our listeners out there, if you want, and by the way, not all of our listeners are brokers. So if you are a buyer, a seller, a renter, or if you're a broker who wants to join your team or learn more about what your team offers in case that's a good fit, what's the best way that one of our listeners can reach out to you?
Yeah, so go to my website. It's www.realtorchy.com. I have my email, my phone number. My phone number is 217-819-8009. Send me a text. My phone's glued to me. I'm always on my phone. And then I check my emails all the time. So
yeah, and we didn't even touch on this. And I know one of your big things is you respond to emails and texts like almost all day and all night.
Yeah.
And I don't want to set that expectation because you need your own personal time too.
Yeah.
But you that is a big deal to you, I know personally. And I know how much you care about your clients and you are willing to really go the extra mile in communication. I know you're always amazed when realtors don't reply and don't,
yes.
You're like, oh.
Yeah. I think it's important to reply emails. Like when I get it, I will reply within 30 minutes. Like why wait? And why are you not checking emails? And sometimes, you know, my clients want to see a building and then I go onto MLS. It says, oh, please call me to book the appointment. And I was like, okay, it's 10 o'clock. And then how can I call you now or text me? And then why not do, you know, why not using the technology to do emails or other things? Why do I have to call? And then I remember one time I text somebody at maybe 11:30 and the next morning I got an angry text back from the realtor saying, hey, it was 11:30. Why it was rude for you to text me 11:30 p.m. Oh, yeah. I was like, okay, so why did you text you? Because I might be working at 2 a.m. and if I need to do something, I'm working, I want to text you. But so turn off your phone or turn into silent, but don't yell at me when...
Or write on the showing notes, please don't text after 11 p.m.
Like, yeah.
But yeah.
I just assumed that he would turn off the, you know, to silent or just let people email you. I think email is the best way to, you know, book anything or just do a showing. Yeah. So, and then I would recommend all the brokers use technology. I have had a managing broker with another brokerage. My client was signing, signature and stuff. He doesn't know how to use DocuSign.
Wow.
So he asked me to set up DocuSign where I send to my client and then send it to his client and giving a copy. And I was just shocked. I was like, so I asked him, I said, how do you usually do this? He said, well, he would ask his clients to go into his office and sign.
Oh.
And I was like, well, it's 2020. You need to learn how to use DocuSign or, you know, but I was happy to help. But it just, you know, I think all the brokers need to be on the same page so we can all help our clients to reach their goal, you know.
Well, it is called a cooperative commission, right? It's supposed to be cooperative. And I think sometimes brokers forget that. They're actually sort of on the same side of the table. They might be negotiating with one another, but at the end of the day, both want to close the deal and you know, so utilize technology, especially things like DocuSign, Dotloop, showing assist to schedule showings. It's amazing how many listings I see on the MLS where it's like, yeah, call me or text me. I'm like, why don't you just set up showing time? Yeah.
Call me one is always crazy, or like text me one. Because when I text, I have to like tell them who I am. But if it's email, all my signature is down there, so they know who I am. But with texting, I have to say, "Oh, I'm Chi Hao Yan with Prospect Equities. I want to do this." It's just like extra work that it can be say like we didn't have to do this.
Well, on behalf of our listeners, Chi Hao, I want to thank you for being part of our show. You have given so much incredible value, and especially now that rental season's starting, and you've just given our listeners so many great tips on how to participate, how to, and just how to be a better broker in general, whether you're doing rentals or sales or both. And so for everyone listening, if number one, if you're a broker and you're like, boy, I want to work on a team like that, contact Chi Hao. You visit his website, which is realtorchy.com. Again, realtorchy.com. All of his contact information is there. We're going to post that in the show notes as well, so you can get in touch with them. And also, if you're a renter or a buyer or a seller or an investor who is looking to work with a realtor like Chi Hao, you reach out to him the exact same way. He'd be honored to talk with you. And he's clearly a rising superstar in the Chicago realtor industry. There's 46,000 realtors, by the way, in the Chicagoland area. Chi Hao is a rising superstar. So we're so happy that that he came on the show today. And on behalf of the audience, Chihao, thank you for spending time.
You.
We know how busy it is for you right now with rental season. And also on behalf of Chihao and myself, we want to thank all the listeners for continuing to support our show. Please continue to support our sponsors. And please tell a friend, every listener, if you can just think of one other realtor that could benefit from hearing this particular interview, send this to a friend. And also follow us on Facebook. You can follow us at facebook.com/keepingitrealpod. Not only do we post the behind the scenes recordings of these interviews in real time, but we also post an article every single day that we find online dedicated to helping brokers grow their business. So we give you nothing but good quality content on there and great interviews like the one here with Chihao Yang. So Chihao, thank you so much again. And
thank
we you. Wish you the continued success. And this is a great, great episode and so much value for our listeners.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.